To the Gospel of St. John, and this time, chapter 2. Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. Reading from verses 1 through 11. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of coming in Your presence. We thank Thee that this is possible because You sent Your Son, who died for our sins, who moved us by Thy Spirit to place our faith in Him. And He made us His sons, His daughters. We thank You, O Lord, that we are here in Your presence because by His death, that new and living way was opened unto us. And as we read Your word this morning, we asked that Thou wilt open our eyes to behold the precious truths contained therein, and that Thou wilt guide us in our meditation on this portion, that in all Thy name and Thy name alone be glorified. And, O Father, our hearts are turned to many other places around this globe where Thy name is uplifted. We pray that You'll enable those who know You to faithfully declare Your word. And wherever Your word goes forth, You'll use Your Spirit to bring it to the hearts of all who hear it. We ask these things in the name of Thy Son, O Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 2:1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. Then He said unto them, "Draw out now, and bear it to the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the wine, the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but his servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then they that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." this beginning of miracles that Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The Lord will bless our hearts reading of his word as he has promised. It's a well-known portion, and there are many issues here which can cause some concern. A wedding in Cana of Galilee, not so far from Nazareth, little east of the Sea of Galilee. The mother was there, Jesus, and some of the disciples. There is much discussion as to which disciple was there, or how many disciples were there. God, in his wisdom and his purpose, didn't tell us. All we know, there were at least two. So these disciples were there. And weddings are strange things. A time of anticipation. A time of preparation, planning. Where mother, father, bridegroom, and bride, and all connected with it, try to make sure that everything is just right. And I believe this was a similar type of wedding in Cana of Galilee. And then something started to happen. You only have one jar of wine or one bottle of wine left. All the wine is done. That's a big calamity, because that was the norm in those days to drink wine. And this reminds us of life today. Things are moving smoothly in a home, in a country, around us, and a telephone call comes through and changes the course of that home. Joy can turn to misery. You're sitting quietly in your home, and the walls begin to shake as in Chile. It happens suddenly. You planned it all, but you did not plan for this eventuality. What should we do? In all our lives, if you haven't found it yet, it will happen to you one day. But God said in his word, Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear. And 26 goes on to say, let the Lord be your confidence in such circumstances. We must not be afraid, but place our confidence in him. And I rather like Psalm 46 that addresses all these issues, both physical and otherwise. I know you're very familiar with it, but let's turn to it anyway. Psalm 46. It says very quietly there, God is our refuge and strength, our hiding place, our very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, will we not fear? Things can happen to us that can cause us to shake in our hearts. Therefore, will we not fear? though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Pause and consider. Whatever might happen to you in life, relax. Verse 6 says, relax. Verse 10 rather, relax, be still, and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And God wants us all to do this. There was no wine. The guests were there. Mary was there. As very often what happens in life, something happens across the street or across the world. And we observe it. And we feel comfortable in our strongholds. We can sit and say, that's his business. That's her business. We can sit and mock. We can turn up our noses. That doesn't concern me. But this was not Mary's attitude. She showed some concern. And we are told, what will you do? We must. You can find this verse in Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 6 and verse 2. Galatians 6 and verse 2. It tells us how we ought to act in such circumstances. And then a second verse I want to bring to your attention. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Galatians 2, 6 and 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens. We are our brother's keeper. And Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. And what each one of us can do with the circumstances depends on what God has set us before. Or provided for us before. The experience he has passed us through. Let us help us to do this and that. We know how to act in such circumstances. We know what we can do. And Jesus put it in very simple terms. And he's taken up one little section out of it in Luke chapter 12. And I think verse 48. Luke chapter 12 verse 48. This is slightly out of its context. It applies anyway. It says, but he that knew not, he was speaking of judgment, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom, and this is what I want to bring to your attention, for unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. When we see circumstances around us, our brothers and our sisters and even those who aren't, instantly, we've got that responsibility of bearing up one another. In prayer, in comfort, in 101 ways, but as God has given you, so be a source of strength to others. One of the verses I want to bring to your attention, just a band before, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, strengthening, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble by the same comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. What God has poured into your life is not purely for your blessing and enjoyment. It's that all should rejoice in it and use that skill, use that knowledge, use what God has given to you to be sources of strength and joy and blessings to others. "We have no wine," she told. This is kind of funny. I'm not so sure she understood what should be done. But she believed that her son would have the ability to solve this problem, or would say something about it. "They have no wine." That is all she said. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations just like that. We know what's hurting us, but we don't know anything else about what to do about it. "We have no wine." And what we got to do is do as she did. Bring the problem to the Lord. I like a little portion found in 2 Chronicles. I must have referred to this before, I don't know, but it's very precious to me. And I trust it will be to you. The story is the story of Jehoshaphat, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, was surrounded by armies from three different countries. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Edomites, the people from Mount Seir. When we were doing Genesis, we thought of Mount Seir quite a bit. And he came to God in prayer. And I like verse 12. My challenge to you is read the whole chapter. But I just want to focus on verse 12. "O God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee." We don't know what to do, God. Just help. Solve the problem your way. And this problem was solved in a remarkable fashion. Something which Jehoshaphat could not have dreamt about. If he had made a direct request, he could not have made that request. You read in chapter 20. Check the whole chapter out. Wonderful indeed. And God wants to work in your life and mine in the same way. We bring the issues to him and we leave it there. They have no wine. They have no wine. And God will handle it his way. You reminded last week of the words of Mary when she said, "Whatever he says unto you, do it." When I was younger, they said it was the gospel according to Mary. Good news. Whatever he said, do it. And his words were simple. fill the water pots with water. Six water pots, two or three firkins apiece. Well, there come problems what a firkin really is. Okay. But two or three firkins apiece. Draw it, carry it to the governor of the feast. Simple. He didn't say a word, but he acted. And made over 100 gallons, somewhere between 100 gallons and 180 gallons of wine. I don't know why he made so much. Maybe it was a big wedding. And he needed 180 gallons of wine. Or maybe it was a gift to the newlyweds. So I have to waste it, because Jesus told at the feeding of the 5,000, he said, pick up the pieces that remain. It wasn't intended for waste anyway. I don't know why. But he made this wine. When the governor of the feast saw it, the governor tasted it, he said, you got the best here. Good wine. Jesus made good wine. Men used to say, he made good wine, you got to use wine. Wine is important, you know. Psalm 104 verse 15 said that wine makes the heart glad. Okay? Wine makes the heart glad. But God doesn't want any one of us to indulge in wine in any form of excess. Let's turn for a moment to Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 29. Whenever I read this portion, my mind goes back to a day some years ago. I was riding along the streets of Georgetown, and I saw a man, two men. I don't know what they were thinking about. One man lifted up the other and threw him down on the ground. The one had fallen, got up, laughed, went to the guy again, and he threw him down. Sometimes I intervene, but when I recognize that they are both really drunk, I said, let me make discretion the better part of valor, and I moved on. This portion reminded me of that. Let's look at it. Verse 29, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at wine, they that seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, it when it giveth color, its color to the cup, when it moves aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lies on the top of a mast. Thou hast stricken me, thou shalt say. I was not sick. Thou hast beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? When shall I awake? I will yet seek it again. One of the verse. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 22. You know the damage that wine brings to you. and yet you go at it again, helplessly. But in Christ there is hope. There is help. And to those who are so caught up in this, pray for them and guide them to the one who can bring them help. Verse 22 says, Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine. People who boast how much they can hold their drinks. Power. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and to men of strength to mingle strong drink. That's the world. We can hold our drinks. But to those who know the Lord, and those who will be wise and use wine wisely, as with anything they would use wisely, there's just two verses I want to bring to your attention. Found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, New Testament. One speaks of your relationship to God, and the second speaking of your responsibility to each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. First Timothy, don't turn to it. First Timothy 4 says, 4:4 I think, everything is to be received if it's received with thanksgivings to God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Rather, I said 9. 10, 8 rather, I apologize to you. 1 Corinthians 8. The last verse there. It's an argument being the conclusion of an argument. Wherefore, if meat or food, if meat make my brother to offend, I will not eat flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. If what we do affects someone else adversely, don't do it. If it's not necessary, don't do it. If you can't give thanks for it, don't do it. If it's one bringing glory to God's name, don't do it. So you've got there, wine makes the heart glad. But wine should not be abused. In the book of Judges, chapter 9, there's an allegory. Abimelech was speaking. And one of the things he said was, the vine cheers God and man. A strange statement. God and man. Now the point is this. I don't know what at this point please forgive me, but probably it takes too long this preliminary discussion. I don't know where to go. But Abimelech said this, but God is concerned with us, and God's objective and desires for you and for me is that we should have joy. Wine brings physical joy. But the Lord is the source of all joy that we'll have. And God wants us to be happy. So you've got these two things. The wine and the water. The wine and the water. The wine speaks of the joy God wants you to have. In His presence, there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. God wants us to have joy in our being. Lots of joy. But such joy can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk close to Him. Years ago, he sang a song which says, "If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart." And God wants us to have that joy. And you must share that joy with others. I'm very reluctant to go any further this morning. I know it's not finished. But if you're prepared to stay another half now, I can do so. Okay. I continue. Not necessarily half now. I'll try and bring it, compress it a bit. Okay. Now, here's the issue is this. So the wine speaks of joy. Speaks of joy. But water, we heard a verse of breaking the bread this morning. Coming from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it speaks of the church. It speaks of the wife. It speaks of what God does for us. And brings that beautiful parallel. It says, verse 25 and 26, says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loves the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it, separate it unto himself, that he might cleanse it." The wife isn't perfect, the church isn't perfect, but God is working on both, that we should reflect his glory. "That he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." The word speaks, the water speaks of the word of God. Psalms chapter 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to God's word." The word brings joy. I like the words of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. And please, if you read that portion, Jeremiah 15, read what else the word does. Finish the rest of the chapter, but I can't do it this morning. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. "Thy word were found, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Thy word was found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." You see, the point is this. Jesus didn't say anything to the people. "Fill the water pots with water, bear it to the feast." And the point is, when we are filled with God's word, He does the transformation internally in our lives, and He gives us the joy that He wants us to have. Sometimes we neglect it, you know. But throughout the scripture, God is telling us the same thing. Sweeter is the word of God. Sweeter than the honeycomb, Psalm 119, verse 103. God's word is sweet to our taste. This is why he tells us in Colossians 3 and 16. My elder always says 3:16 to the Bible. Very precious, many of them. But Colossians 3 and 16 is the one we should commit to our memory. That this, Colossians 3 and 16. "That the word of Christ dwell in you richly, unto all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I don't mind people taking books about the Bible. I don't mind people listening to eminent speakers, even today. Even listen to a message today. I don't mind it at all. It's good. But you can't drink soda all the time. You need plain, pure water. You need the pure milk of God's Word. And if you want to read, let God's Word fill your mind. And God will take His Word and transform it into your joy. I thank God for this Word. Rejoice in it. Fill your mind with His Word. Fill your mind with His Word. You know, these firkins, these pots, these water pots, were made out of stone. Remember we did the first chapter, we read Peter, or Simon, his father, his mother called him, or father called him Simon. But Jesus said, I know you better than your mother. Your name is really Rock. And God's word in our being affects us. Our rocky, stony, rebellious hearts. Just as that water was poured into the water pots, let us fill our beings with the word of God. You know what the servants did? They filled it to the brim. Right up. And this is not a casual thing of reading God's word. Like one chap said, I read my Bible every day. I read one verse. The point is that it's not casual reading. You remember 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show yourself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a modern translation will not have study, it will have give diligence. Give diligence. Apply yourself day by day. As you get up and make sure with diligence you get your breakfast and you watch what you eat and how you eat it. You want your lunch? It must be right, at the right time, the right type. Goodness, God has given us this food. Feast in it. Feast in it. Let our minds be filled with it. And God will bless. You see, God's word touches in very many areas. I don't have to comment on this. It's light. The disciples, when Jesus said, He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The psalmist says, Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a light. The word of God is there to bring me encouragement when I'm weak. You read the whole Testament, you find that word, that, like the Be Still one you read in Psalm 46. You read it, you find encouragement in God's word. Fill it up to the brim. Get what God wants you to have. It also has some painful things, you know. It has some rebukes in it. Because it talks about our sin, our pride, our rebellion. It talks about this. And sometimes it brings us to tears as we look at the light of God's word and we look at what we are. It brings us to tears. But not tears that damage us. Tears that help us to come back and know His joy. Like the surgeon's knife that cuts us to bring us good health eventually. I always like to think of that portion in Nehemiah chapter 8. You can probably look at it. A very precious portion. Nehemiah chapter 8. Going backwards, it is Psalms and Job, then Esther, and then Nehemiah. Going to the front of your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8. And don't lose that portion. Verse 8 says, "So they read the book of the law distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which was the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, and the Levites taught the people, and said unto the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. And mourn not, and weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of God, the law. They wept. They saw what they were. And they drifted. They had just come back from captivity. And they were doing almost the same thing that took them into captivity. And they wept. When God speaks to us, remember, godly sorrow leads to repentance. And the repentance, if there's repented of, it brings eventual joy. God doesn't tell us about ourselves to make us feel badly alone. He tells us what we are, that we should say, Lord, I'm sorry, that we eventually know His joy and peace. So the next verse is more than thrilling. And they said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to one another. For this day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The word points to Jesus, the source of all joy. And God wants you to have that joy. Water to wine. Another verse you can check out is in John 15, the things I'm saying unto you, that your joy might be full. I want to make one point though. Remember things, fill it to the what? To the brim. Fill it to the brim. Look at the early verses of this chapter. Look at verse 2. Rather, to understand the context, we go to verse 1. Same chapter, verse 8 of Nehemiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street, and was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord has commanded Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Verse 3. Please bear with me. And he read therein before the street. That was before the water gates. From the morning until midday. The seventh day. From morning until midday. So don't get tired. Don't assume when it's over time. Morning until midday. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. That is not wonderful. The men, the women, and those who could understand. Now, let me ask you a question. How would you determine those who could understand? By age? 12? 10? 7? 3? 4? By seeming intelligence? This boy can speak and that boy can write? How could you determine that? But it calls for judgment call, doesn't it? But you know what caused, why that problem was caused? that problem was caused in Nehemiah. Wonderful though this was. This was caused because they did not fill the word to the brim. The water pots to the brim. Let us look at Deuteronomy from which this came. Deuteronomy chapter 31. If I kept the little children home, who else must stay home? The grandmothers or the mothers? Therefore, I'm not leaving out, but I'm leaving others out. And I don't know when a child really understands. I have memories of my behavior and I'm 3 and 4. Okay, so I don't know what memories you bear, but I think of things. Jeremiah chapter 31. Moses was speaking with a grieved heart in these latter chapters of Deuteronomy, telling the people of what they will do in the days to come. And if you read Jeremiah 44, if you take time off, you'll see the value of this thing if they had done it. Jeremiah 44. But in verse 12, this is what he said. Or rather, verse 11. When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which you shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, the men, the women, children, and thy strangers that within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and they might fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all his words. Was anybody excluded here? Nobody. Of course, it took some putting up with others. You know, I'll just tell you a secret. I always think about it. When the children from Wade came in here, they were different type of children. And now, we can tolerate them. They're different. Their behavior is different. They got the word, and that affects them. Many of us are privileged to be brought up in a place where you heard the word. The child that we bring sometimes was complaining, I never went to church, so I don't know how to behave in church. It's a privilege to have children. Bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Let them hear the word. Don't say until they have understanding. They'll pick up something. If it's just mere behavior, they'll pick it up. And they'll ask you why. Teach them the word. Another small point. I'm going to stop. Fill it to the brim. Let me bring with a verse that thrills me. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Fill it to the brim. It tells us Samuel after his contact with Eli. His mother had brought him, and he was there observing the scene. Bring them in. Anyway, and Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Right? And the word of the Lord was precious or rare in those days. Nobody heard it. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the covenant was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel and he said, here am I, and he rushed to Eli. We know the story quite well. And we focus on Samuel responding, "Here am I," and rushing to see Eli. But you notice when the voice came? Before the lamp was put out. The water pot was not filled to the brim. Exodus chapter 27. Exodus chapter 27. Verse 20, the last 20. That should be enough. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn in the daytime. What it says there? Always. This very thing was repeated several times in Leviticus 24. You can read it some other time. Continually, it must burn always. But if you look for a moment, just to confirm this problem, in chapter 30 and verse 8. I'm sure you should link it. Exodus 30 and verse 8. And when, you can read 7 and 8, but I read 8. When Aaron lighted the lamp at evening, at twilight, he shall burn incense upon it as a perpetual incense before the Lord. Why in the days of Samuel, the lamp was put out in the night? They were told to dress the lamp morning and night. And here was an instance in which you were told to light the lamp at night. Let's keep the water, the jars filled to the brim. What God tells us, ask Him for the strength and the wisdom to accomplish what He tells us. So keep the water pots filled. Fill your mind. Let our minds be filled with God's word. And from that filling will come forth joy. Wine. Joy, water, comfort, you share it. Share what God gives. And this is light, you know, this light. Let me just whip over. This light was, you had it, a curtain here, the people out here, a curtain here, and in this curtain you had three things. Behind this curtain you had the bread, the incense, and the lamp, and another curtain. And behind this curtain was the ark. So the lamp was in effect behind two curtains, all around. The people couldn't see it, generally. The priests went in and saw it, and thank God today, we are priests. But God wanted the lamp to be burning. Whether people see us or don't see us, let our testimonies shine for Him. Let God's Word rule our lives. And God's Word affects us in every area of our life. There's not an area, an activity that God's Word does not contain us. Keep the lamp burning. Let our water pots be filled and be filled to the brim. Just stop now. Thanks for your patience with me. And we'll finish up something. Father, we thank you again because the word wonderful. And we ask it even now that we may heed your word, take it into our beings, and find joy. Help us to, like Jeremiah, when we shall have found your word, that we may eat it, and find it the joy and rejoicing of our hearts. Help us, like the saints in Ezra's time, to listen to your word, though hours might pass. And then when the hours pass, help us still to pay attention. So, Lord, as we listen to your word today, by thy grace and by thy mercies, help us to apply it. And like wine, share it, that others may get the joy. We thank thee for thy Son, who loved us and gave himself for us. We praise you for him. In his own precious name. Amen.